This is episode 12 of Store and Forward, a podcast about the past and future of amateur radio. I am K Savitz, K6KJN. I am the curator of the Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications. And I am here with my buddy Steve.
I am Steve Stroh, NHGNJ, and I am the editor of the Zero Retries newsletter.
Our address for this podcast is at www.storeandforwardradio.org, and we will have show notes for this and every episode there if you want to easy click a little link and see the fun things that we're talking about. Happy April.
Thank you. And happy April to you. Your pixel seems...
Pixel's excited.
The tail is making an appearance.
She's a real podcast helper, I can tell you that. Here we are. It's been about 6 weeks since our last episode. I think it's been a very busy time for both of us.
Right.
And what you got going on?
Well...
I'm telling you my big news. I can't wait.
Yeah, please.
I was trying to be polite, but nope. So I've been doing the Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications for about 2.5 years. As you know, it's because of a generous grant from ARDC, the Amateur Radio Digital Communications group. And they gave Internet Archive a big old chunk of money to create this library, and it's been 2.5 years, and we have created the library, and we spent the money. Money is gone. So we scanned, you know, more than 1 million pages last year, and more than that the year before, and we've gotten all sorts of material online, and it's been a rousing success. So I went to the ARDC a couple months ago, and I was like, how about more money to keep doing it for another 2 years? And as part of their next grant cycle. And they thought about it for a while, and the group told me just yesterday, okay, sure. So Internet Archive has been given another generous grant from ARDC, and I get to keep building the Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications for another 2 years, starting now.
Excellent. I am so excited, Kay. That is so cool. And honestly, DLARC has just, I think, in my opinion, revolutionized amateur radio. It is finally the digital archive that we've always needed. And so, as you and I have discussed many times privately, there is so much stuff that is aging out as amateur radio operators age out. And we had one heartbreaking example of that we missed checking in with a family of a deceased ham, you know, 18 months, and they had disposed of this incredibly valuable library of his because they couldn't find anybody to take it. They didn't know of the existence of DLARC. So I hope one of the big projects is going to be evangelizing the existence of DLARC now that it's up and running and, you know, it's a well-oiled machine. Stuff can flow in, show up online, you know, in a very short cycle. And selfishly, I have two more boxes of material to send you now. I was at the big amateur radio flea market, Hamfest, here in the Seattle metropolitan area in Puyallup, Washington, and I found this box of magazines of, they were mostly monitoring and scanning, you know. Monitoring Times is a good example, but that was not what these magazines were. I had never seen these magazines before. I didn't know they existed. So I'm eager to get them submitted to DLARC and get them into, you know, the collection. And I think that there's so many ideas, especially amateur radio as a technical hobby. We've attempted so many things, you know, kind of on the ragged edge of feasibility, that ultimately weren't embraceable by the masses because of expense or technological complexity. And now we can basically do anything. And that's a point I'm going to bring up in my segment. But you're getting it all on the record. Anybody can access it anywhere in the world. And soon enough, we're just going to have this seamless automatic translation. You know, if you're reading it in Portuguese, if you're a native Portuguese speaker in Brazil, for example, or Spain, or sorry, Portugal, duh. you're going to be able to read it natively, you know, and be inspired, because we're having great ideas happen everywhere in the world now with the disbursement of technology and software development and open source and the internet. You know, I love to cite the example of M17 coming out of Poland, you know, the M17 open source digital voice ecosystem. So, you know, all that material, you know, especially from conferences like the digital communications conferences, are now out there and widely dispersed. And unlike, you know, a major failure of a server, you know, just completely nukes a huge, wonderful archive. It, you know, that doesn't happen with the Internet Archive. So, I mean, the occasional security hack to the contrary.
Sure, I don't know what you're talking about.
Welcome. I am so thrilled that you're continuing, that Internet Archive is continuing the mission, and you are continuing as the curator.
Thanks.
I was worried that you were a bit burned out from all the activity.
I have, it's been a weird couple of months. I mean, I filed the grant application a couple months ago, and you know, I'm aware that I was told that it's a more conservative funding landscape than it used to be for the grant givers. And then, you know, a few days ago, a couple weeks ago, the stock market started going crazy. Up and down and down and down. And I don't know how that affects ARDs. I have no insight into how that affects the grant makers' ability to give grants. And I'm sure it, you know, affects them somehow. And so I've been in this place of just like, well, first of all, I'm finishing up everything. Like if I had to walk away from this right now, will I be like happy with like, you know, everything being pretty, right? Mm-hmm. Everything being as complete as possible. And so I've spent the last couple of months just like putting bows on things, making sure everything is nice. And do I have every issue of that and every episode of that? And so cleaning up things. And at the other, but also kind of making plans like, well, if we do get the grant, like then what's next? What are the next, so, you know, happening? Not actually starting out and finding all these exciting things and ideas and opportunities, but like not starting them because I don't want to go down another rabbit hole that I might not be able to finish. And so as of, you know, just a couple of days ago, I'm just like, oh, okay, well now I'm changing gears. I'm going from finishing up cleanup mode to, okay, let's start spinning up the gears again and see what we can accomplish now with new funding and another couple of years. So burnt out isn't it at all, but it was a matter of I came to a spot where I'm just like, well, if we're done, then I can walk away very happy and proud of what we had accomplished and created and will be up online for in perpetuity. But then if we get the money, I will be thrilled to keep going and add to this database of knowledge. And so like, I'm still like, my brain is still kind of coming to the mode of, well, okay, well, I guess I'm not done and we're switching gears and, you know, let's keep going. So, I've got emails that have piled up, but I've been sort of putting on the back burner, and now it's time to start answering them and start uploading things again.
I have a previous association with ARDC. I was on the Grants Advisory Committee that was one of those that, and I was one of those who voted very strongly in favor of, you know, funding DLARC. But that was several years ago now. And what follows is my very personal opinion, not, you know, representing ARDC in any way. But I think that the two most significant projects that ARDC is using their endowment for that will have very, very lasting significance is DLARC first, amateur radio. It's the library that amateur radio has always needed. And it's not just the US, it's worldwide. And second, the 44Net system. You know, I mean, routable class A address space, IPv4 address space is an incredibly precious commodity. And amateur radio has, you know, free access to that through ARDC. Those two projects are, you know, really fundamental to amateur radio success in the 21st century. You know, so kudos to being, you know, part of that. So, okay. I guess our listeners are probably moving on. So as you said, you weren't exactly idle. It looks like there's a few other projects you want to talk
about.
Yeah,
I'll talk about some of the things I've added in the last little while as I've been cleaning up things. I hardly ever talk about the call books section of the library. It's not, you know, it's a archive of scanned amateur radio call books, and it's not exciting, but it is among always the most popular sections of people looking up things in call books. And it's just like, it's like the reference section at the library. You know, it's not sexy, but it's useful. Mm-hmm. You know, the pages are well worn. So I added another 32 call books to the call book section. So we're up to like nearly 150 now. And we've got call books. We added the Consolidated Radio Call Book from 1922 and the official fourth annual official wireless blue book from 1914 and one from 1926 and a bunch of more modern things from New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters covering you know, much more modern, and some books covering North America going up to through 1996. So these are great references for finding, you know, what call signs used to be and what addresses were and names and everything. And so basically we've got them from, you know, going back to the 1900s through, well, all of the 1900s basically. So just added in. So that's kind of neat. And then as I'm going through my stuff and cleaning up, I found some floppy disks that I have been, I needed to deal with, some 5 1/4 floppy disks. And I found some software. We got the WA7MBL mailbox version 2.04, which is a packet radio software. It's a DOS work-alike of the WORLI mailbox, which was for CPM, but then W7MBL made this version for DOS. And so I found that, we recovered that, and that's available online. And then also PBBS, Packet Bulletin Board System, published by the Wake Digital Communications Group in 1985. Recovered that. I couldn't find that easily around the internet other than that. And then I found a floppy disk that had a bunch of meeting minutes from the Northwest Amateur Packet Radio Association from 1990 and 1991.
Really?
Yeah. So those are,
that's, I didn't realize there was one of those. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to hear where that came from offline.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, But so, you know, I just got these disks and it was basically a bunch of text files. So I converted them to PDF and put them online. So, and you will know that group because they published a little newsletter called Zero Retries.
And once NAPRA went out of existence, the newsletter name was up for grabs, and it was the most focused newsletter about packet radio, you know, in the Northwest that there ever was. And I always had a fondness for that name. And when I decided to come up with a name for my newsletter, you know, starting 4.5 years ago now. Jeez. Yeah. No, it was three and a half. It was 22. No, it was 21. Duh. Anyway, Zero Retries. And I got so many questions about that name that I had to put it in the first paragraph of my Zero Retries about page. You know, it says, what is this? And then yesterday Friday I fluffed it. It was the the newsletter went out as Zero Retires 0198.
You always warn people not to type that.
My the one place the spell checker doesn't look is the title block. Huh. So I had to republish it. Republished it. You know, so it went out to all the email subscribers. Went, you know, then it was online. Then I deleted the old one. And trouble is, republishing it, you know, all the internal links broke. Mm. So I had to go back and fix those. So I got the first hint I got that it was bad was from a reader in Japan, mm-hmm. you know, which I have a bad habit of looking at my email in the middle of the night when I get up. And he gave me the heads up. And then the internal links I got from a guy in Australia, you know. So, mm-hmm.
Oh, yikes.
Oh, well.
Well, happens to the best of us. Also, when I was talking about DOS things before I move, this is not quite ham radio related, but somebody gave me, look at this beast of a machine. Yeah. This is a Toshiba Satellite 335 CDS laptop computer from the mid 90s. I'm hurting myself by lifting it up to show it to the camera because it's kind of heavy. But beautiful little machine. When I got it, it had Windows 95 on it and it booted right up. It came with I had the computer, but it didn't come with the power supply. So I had to get a power supply for it. That was easy. And it booted right up to Windows 95. And I saw it was working and tested it out. And then the first thing I did was erase Windows 95 and install FreeDOS on it because I just don't. who needs Windows 95? If I'm using Windows, like, I'll upgrade it to, you know, Windows 98 or something. But right now I installed FreeDOS on it and I've been having fun playing with that little guy.
So. FreeDOS found all the ports and everything, huh?
Yeah, FreeDOS is amazing. Okay. And they just came out with a new version of FreeDOS 1.4. Just came out real recently, and it fired right up. So
I have DOS era machines, and I'm looking forward to that. And some of them had the extended memory, capability. Something EMM. Looking forward to seeing, you know, because, oh, back my, I won't lapse into nostalgia too much, but back in the day, I had one machine that was in a common area and we had the very expensive AutoCAD prop. So this machine had simultaneously a scanner, AutoCAD, a IBM mainframe emulation board, etc. I got it working. I used every available interrupt and I used every available DMA channel, and it was a menu system. You just had to boot it up from power, select one, and it it rebooted and reconfigured everything, and it worked. I was so proud of that, and I was so happy when USB came along, and we just didn't have to deal with any of that crap. My God,
yeah, so. This thing has one USB port, but I think it was still pretty novel at the time. It's just like USB 1.1, but mostly it's got a serial and a parallel port, you know, as a good old computer.
Well, hey, so. you're good to go for packet then.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So. And I just realized now while talking to you that I hadn't tested it before, but the batteries don't work anymore because I unplugged it in order to show you and it just went.
Yeah.
Those batteries
are dead. Okay. But before you give up on the battery, you can get battery packs rebuilt. There are rebuilders that will put it, you know, it won't be the same, gel cell technology.
Good.
they can adapt lithium ion with charging circuits, et cetera. Might be a little pricey, but you know, it'll still work. Yes. and it'll be a portable. I've still got a compact SLT 286, That was the lunchbox. So anyway, enough nostalgia.
Thinking I get new batteries for this, and I hook it up to the what's it called, the Z Bit X that's coming. Yeah. I'll be the coolest guy at Parks on the Air with
yes, exactly
running all on batteries, running packet or something.
Yep.
Anyway, So cool. Yeah. So that's what have you been up to?
Well, since we last recorded, I've published Zero Retries 0193 through 0198, and the big theme that echoes through all of that is the FCC's delete request for comments. They call it a docket 25-133. And basically they said, what can the FCC delete in its rules to make things more efficient? Obviously targeted at businesses, et cetera. But amateur radio came out pretty strongly. A lot of folks said, please don't touch amateur radio, and gave good examples of, you know, emergency communication situations, especially the big, you know, hurricanes and tornadoes and things, and made some good comments. I filed, ARRL filed, ARDC filed, Open Research Institute filed, and a few others. I was really happy with what I saw with the FCC or the ARRL. They weighed in pretty heavily on really modernizing amateur radio.
And, I saw that. It seemed like the FCC wants to remove regulations, and I felt like the ARRL made all sorts of good points and things, but didn't stick to removing regulations. So they were just like, oh, you should, you know, add this and change this. And according to what the government wants to do, they just want to say no. You know, they want to strike out things. They want to line out things. And I felt like maybe what the ARRL did wasn't sticking to that desire of delete.
Yeah. Well, they have, just like every organization, they have talking points that they want to keep hammering home. Well, one of them that they did stick to the theme, which I echoed and a few others, was to delete the arcane symbol rates and bandwidth limitations that remain on the VHF, UHF bands. Mm-hmm. Those can be just removed and fixed. That fixes that issue that we can't use some of the most modern data communication systems. And they reiterated that they made that point in a previous filing. ORI made a pretty good filing to delete some really arcane regulations about notifications in the 219 to 220 megahertz band that we are secondary in to other services. And originally that band was a primary allocation was to the Inland Waterways Communication System, which never actually happened. So all the licensees who signed up for that, those licenses got to lease them out to other entities. So that service never existed. And so the notification requirements are just absurd. In a lot of cases, you can't do it. I mean, you can't do what it says in the regulations. So that was cool. So anyway, there were a lot of good comments filed. And one of the ones that I said was that there is this provision in the rules that said that repeater coordination organizations have priority, or that repeaters coordinated with repeater coordination organizations have priority over those that repeaters that are not. And the FCC saying that basically said, you know, it creates the force of law in that if they delete that line, then it stays completely within the amateur radio realm to work it out. And the FCC doesn't have anything to say about that. So we really need more repeaters that are modern repeaters, like digital, like M17, like Data. And basically the existing repeaters, however old, however unused, you know, however static, maybe on often cases and not even on the air at the moment because they're down for maintenance, you know, for 6 months or a year. They get a veto. So, and removing that line would help. I also, and the ARRL said, basically, there's this whole table of incredibly detailed, granular descriptions of modulation modes. That's just insane in this era of digital software-defined radio. You know, we can do anything now. I mean, it's just software, literally. You select software A, you're talking FM. Select software B, you're talking AM, sideband, you know, data, whatever. So all of those tables are just absurd. They made sense back in the analog era where you had to build a radio with hardware to do certain things. And so those technical standards and regulations, those made sense back then. They don't now. And just deleting those kinds of minutiae would just help a hell of a lot. So enough. I've written about this in one way or another, you know, through these five issues. So, you know, if you're curious, start reading at 0193 and forward. Tina and I attended HAMSCI 2025 in Newark, New Jersey. And that was fun. Oh, it was so much fun to see these younger folks and these engineering and science students, you know, get so excited about using amateur radio in their research and really understanding what's going on with the ionosphere better because of, you know, we can actually essentially probe the ionosphere with all these radio systems. And they're creating a distributed network of stations that aren't just listening for particular modes like beacon spotting or, you know, those things. They're actually paying attention to what's going on. And then they're deploying things like magnetometers in, you know, widely dispersed settings. And, you know, we do these sorts of things, you know, at a federal level, but, you know, they're expensive and they're very few. So we now have, you know, with for a couple of $100 and an internet connection, you can be contributing to monitoring the Earth's magnetic field on a very granular level. Let's see. Tina and I discovered the GNU Radio Conference was going to be held in September in Everett, Washington, just 60 miles south of us. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for volunteers. And I said, "Hey, Tina, this sounds like fun." And Tina said, "Oh, okay, sure." Being retired folks, we have blocks of time. And we actually encountered two of the key personnel at GNU Radio at HAMSCI in Newark, and we talked substantively, and they were delighted because we thought there was some, you know, connection between GNU Radio and Everett, Washington, like, you know, that's where the Boeing 747 factory is, et cetera. Sure. Nope. They were looking for a particular set of requirements, cost, size, availability to a major airport, et cetera. And this year they chose Everett, Washington, because we have a, because Everett has a very nice conference center that's not heavily used. So it was available for the entire week and at a reasonable cost. So Tina and I are now volunteers with GNU Radio, nice. And at least for this conference and maybe longer. And then because the conference runs Monday through Friday.
What are you doing Saturday?
What are you doing Saturday? Funny you should ask. So Tina and I had been batting around the idea of essentially reviving what originally the ARRL and Tapper Digital Conference. Then it became the Tapper Digital Conference, Digital Communications Conference. And a couple of years ago, Tapper just kind of threw up their hands and said, we can't do it anymore.
Tapped out.
Yep. Tina and I were both very big fans of the DCC. I mean, and Tina is not that technical, but she saw the value of the DCC, and we actually hosted the two best attended DCCs here in the Seattle area. First one was in 96, and I forget what the other one was. And selfishly, the DCC is what got me launched into this whole career of being a technology writer about wireless, because I've told that story in various places, but I encountered my friend and mentor, Duane Hendricks, WAA, DZP, now a silent keyboard. And he turned my life around. He was one of those, major forks in your life where you look back and say, oh, that's where that came from. So long story short, the Zero Retries Digital Conference will be held on the Saturday after GNU Radio Conference in Everett, Washington. And it's going to be all day, probably into, as we were talking last night, it's probably into the evening. Mm-hmm. So a good time will be had by all, and I hope I see you there.
I will be there.
Excellent.
I it's on my calendar, and I will speak if you want me to, and it'll be great.
I am looking forward to it.
So now you're going to be volunteering for the GNU Radio Conference during the week, but also prepping for a very busy Saturday. That's going to for you.
Yeah, okay. It is. And so Tina is the secret weapon in this, because she has a much more organizational mindset than I do. Mm. I can focus on a project. I don't multitask very well. She's the secret sauce to this. And we are one of, it turns out that there's no professional staff in GNU Radio. We kind of, they punch above their weight, as we discover. So it's all, GNU Radio is all volunteer. We are just two of many volunteers that will be there, but we are the boots on the ground at this particular conference. Nobody else in GNU Radio lives anywhere close, and they actually haven't laid eyes on the venue. They did it entirely remote. IP400 project that I became an accidental thing with me is going great guns. We've released version 1.0 of the software for the prototype hardware, and I was authorized very narrowly to say that we're IP400 is now in the pre-production phase.
Okay.
There will be a major announcement in Zero Retries Zero Retries 200. It just happened to work out that way. It's May 2nd. So, let's see. I am headed for Hamvention in about 4 weeks. I am very much looking forward to that. Lots of fun. It's been 3 years since I've been there. And this time I'm coming as media. So that means I get in on Thursday, and I can talk to all of the vendors without, them being, because they want to sell, during the 3 days. And I don't blame them a bit. They don't want to get tied up talking to media. Yeah. Fair enough. So I'm looking forward to that. And I really got to work on some recording gear so I can do some snippets of audio, maybe to contribute to this. Speaking of IP400, I did a little bit of a retrospective in Zero Retries 0198 about the IP400 happened in part because I was ready at the moment when an opportunity presented itself with Martin Alcock, my collaborator, Martin Alcock, VE6VH. He came to me as a result of my articles about Super Peters. And he said, I've got some technology that I could, you know, throw at this. And I said, well, actually, what we really need more than the repeaters right now is we need the radio. We need a real data radio. And I started explaining what we needed. And he says, you know, you're right. You're right. And I can do that. But the reason I was able to do that, and I was ready at that moment, was that 2 decades ago, a group in Seattle that I fell into, I wasn't formative about it. I was an active participant, but I don't take credit for forming it or anything. This group had sketched out the outlines of such a data radio back then, and we never were able to do it. We weren't organized enough, and it turns out that the technology, even a second time years later, a decade later, wasn't up to it, but now it is. The chipsets, the computers, the software, you know, we've got Raspberry Pis now. Sure. Cheap Raspberry Pis.
So I'm curious how different the reality of today's radio is turning out to be versus the spec of whatever it was 15 or 20 years ago. How far off were you? I don't know.
Back then you would have had to either use a big desktop computer, or you would have had to, we had ARM processors, but you would have had to make your own, you know, embedded ARM processor with embedded software. Now there's embedded operating systems and stuff. And Linux existed. So we could have done it. If you had enough time and enough money and, you know, enough talent, you could have done it, but it was hard for folks trying to do it as amateurs. And the radio was going to be, you know, much like we have right now with an FM radio kind of stripped down, no front panel, et cetera. But now what IP400, it's really shocking to see it. IP400 is going to be a little module about yay, same form factor, at least the initial one, is going to be the same form factor as a Raspberry Pi Zero. And it will in fact be mated to a Raspberry Pi Zero as the one that will eventually be sold, assembled, and tested. So we have now these commodity computers. The radio, truly, what's the radio function on that board is a chipset. It's inside, it's a collection of chips and, you know, various components, but externally it's a module and then we put an antenna connector on it, and a few little bits and pieces on the outside to tell it, just get it started up, and that's it. That's the radio. So it's not going to be high power initially, but it's the radio. And for example, if you're going to stick it up a tower with remote power, et cetera, it's going to work great. And this one is coming out of and the difference is now we have radio chipsets that are designed for data. All the previous ones were designed for voice or low speed data. This one is coming out the door like 100 kilobits per second. And that's another fun story, very briefly, is that because of these arcane regulations in U.S. amateur radio, we're not going to be able to use it in the U.S. legally.
Yeah.
So it's being developed in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and they have no such regulations.
Sure.
So I mentioned
here that. you could receive test signals being sent from Canada. But you couldn't, assuming you don't need to respond to the, I got that packet or something. I guess you could do that slowly, but
Well, we could write software, and this is what New Packet Radio did, to dumb it down.
Mm-hmm.
But sure. Martin said, I'm a little busy. I'm not going to worry about your problem here in the U.S.
Yeah.
So I've said that I said publicly that I'm going to try once concurrent with actual hardware shipping. I'm going to see what it takes to file either a special temporary authority request with the FCC or a Part 5 experimental license. Mm-hmm. Now, the latter turns out to be more probably a saner way to do it. That basically waives those silly, rules that get in the way of using IP400.
Or they could just delete the.
Yeah, they could indeed delete. But I, in my opinion, if they do anything, it won't be this year.
Yeah,
they got bigger things to worry about.
Sure.
So let's see, and then I guess on my list, the moment which I got to get to later today is I have to finish my presentation for a presentation I'm doing on Monday titled IP400 and the Digital Future of Amateur Radio. That's for a group called the Jim Fisher Memorial Digital Network Association, based around Philadelphia. And details are in Zero Retries 0198 if anybody wants to listen in. And lastly, my poor 2018 Mac Mini, which was the very last Mac Minis that were Intel based, just got obsoleted by Apple. They said they put it on the obsolete list, so mm-hmm. no more. Not that it's ever needed. I mean, it's been perfectly reliable. It's wonderful, etc. Even got the latest software update, but it's time. And the M4.
Yeah,
sexy.
Yeah, those new little Mac Minis with the M4 are wonderful, and it's time to upgrade. And you can install Linux on your 2018, and it'll be a server or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's got I had been, my habit had been, if I'm going to invest, and it worked out great. I got the biggest SSD that I could get on this particular mm-hmm. one. And I maxed out the RAM. I never maxed out the CPU. I never use enough of the CPU to bother. And what I'm seeing of the M4s, the stock one, it's just amazing. I think it comes with 16 gig of RAM, lowest end configuration. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it and banishing the beach ball once and for all for everything I do. So
nice.
Well, yeah, and
I'm sorry, and congratulations, I guess.
Yeah. Well, no, it's time, and especially now with the tariff situation going, Apple admirably has not subjected their customers to up and down, with tariff. Yeah. They've kept their prices stable, and I'm going to, reward them for that by this big purchase before any real shenanigans get started.
Nice.
So. Well,
speaking of shenanigans, Pixel's still here.
Hi, Pixel.
Yeah, Pixel's here. All right. Is that about it?
I think so.
I think so too. That was good.
Yeah, we caught up, and I am probably going to be saturated up all the way up through Hamvention time, and then.
Can't wait to hear what happens there. Talk next time and tell me all about Hamvention.
Yep. So, and then right after, within a couple of weeks of Hamvention, is CPAC down in Seaside, Oregon. And I'm due to give a talk there. It'll be interesting. I'm one of the three seminars that are slotted against the ARRL talk. So mm-hmm. I am counter programming, not my preference, but right. Someone else decided that I was counter programming to the ARRL.
Huh. So, interesting.
Oh my goodness, Pixel has big, beautiful eyes. Yeah. So I have one of my own. Both of my two cats now are assistant late night late night assistant editors in training.
Nice.
Because I'll sit in my favorite chair at night and they'll decide that, hey, I'm a little cold, Dad. You know, how about some lap time?
So, nice. Beautiful. Yeah. That's what they're for.
Yep.
This has been Store and Forward, your podcast about the past and future of amateur radio. You can find our show notes at storeandforwardradio.org. I am Kay Savitz, K6KJN. You should check out the Digital Library of Amateur Radio and Communications. If you check it out now, you can say that you saw it halfway through its being built, and you will be you'll be amazed at what's there and amazed at what is added in the next couple of years. Because I'm gonna spend that grant money, and we're gonna add a whole bunch of cool, amazing ham radio history. So check it out at archive.org/details/DLARC. Pixel wants you to.
And I am Steve Stroh, NAGNJ. I am editor of the Zero Retries newsletter, which is in its fourth year of publication with 2,600 plus subscribers and email subscribers. And let's see what else. You can find it at www.zeroretries.org. It's a lot of fun. I talk about lots of stuff digital, and I've been accused at times of being a bit Wayne Greenish. So if you understand that reference, you'll know what it means. Otherwise, it'll just slide on by.
you could be more Wayne Greenier. I think you're sliding down the pathway, but it's a long path to full Wayne
Greenish. That's true.
Wayne right. Greenishness, I think.
Oh, also one little bit at the end. We were really thrilled. Tina and I were really thrilled that the Zero Retries Digital Conference got picked up by Amateur Radio Newsline as one of their items this past week. That was a thrill. I've been listening to Newsline since I've been a ham, back in the 85, which, by the way, I was able to discover that I was originally licensed back in 1985 because someone was able to look it up in a call book. I had not recorded it. I think I lost my original license. I don't remember when I was actually licensed, and a gentleman who has call books, groaning shelf full of call books, as he described it, looked it up for me and found me in 1985.
Nice. Amazing.
So,
all right. And we're going to have to figure out when you do your conference, like how are you recording talks so that they can be archived in DLARC?
That is a major item of discussion.
Yeah.
We lost GNU Radio. Mm-hmm. That is one of the casualties of the current political climate here in the U.S. because the gentleman who used to do all of the AV, they would just rent equipment, mm-hmm. and then he would fly in from undisclosed non-U.S. country, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. do it. And he's not coming this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yikes. Well.
We got to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about what to do. I mean, at minimum, doing audio only is pretty inexpensive and better than nothing. You know, I mean, setting up cameras and everything, is more complicated. But for your first conference, get a couple of Zoom recorders, or one in each room. Zoom as in the device, the recording device, not as the app. And they'll be good enough. You know, of audio. So that's something.
It's astonishing how cheap the HD or the now 4K camcorders are. Mm-hmm. And at a minimum, we're going to invest in a couple of those, one on the screen and one on the speaker, and just stuff them with you can buy terabyte cards now.
Yeah.
And just let it rip. So, and then find some kind video editor who might be willing to get it, and then we'll have a Zero Retries YouTube channel by then. So, great. Et cetera. So,
beautiful.
Well, take care, Kay.
Take care.
Oh, and I'm so buzzed that you're back in business. You know, full bore. That's great. So. Well, we'll talk and
full bore tomorrow. Right?
Today. Oh, yeah. God, yes. Take the weekend off.
So, great.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.
7-3.